Again, setting the stage, this is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after resurrection. 40 days after resurrection, Jesus ascends into heaven. And the apostles and the believers are told to go back to the upper room where they had the Last Supper. And we're just setting the stage in that by reading from chapter 1 of Acts, verses 12 through 15. When they being the apostles, returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which was near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they had been staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons. Peter makes a speech. They elect Matthias as the 12th disciple, and things seem to be going well. And they continue to stay in the upper room, praying and singing and worshiping and telling the story of Jesus to one another. Then we pick up Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in the one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came the sound like the rushing of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit had given them ability. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, today is day of Pentecost. The 12 disciples are all together. When the Holy Spirit came, it was like a big wind and fire rested on them. It was nice. It was a nice day. Happy birthday to the church. Happy birthday. Peter got up and made a speech. Now, from the perspective of 2,000 years away, it all seems to me to be decently and in order. Things are well done and mannered on this day of Pentecost. But put yourself there. Put yourself in that room. The 12 disciples were in the room where they had the Last Supper. Think of all the baggage that brings. And it was almost 2 months ago. And they aren't alone. In a room no bigger than our youth room, which is like a double classroom, you have 120 people crowded in for 50 days. At least the last 10 days of Jesus' ascension. There are people everywhere. You have no personal space. And probably there's a lot of food odor, leftover food odor, and a lot of human odor. And they aren't meeting and sitting orderly and one speaking at a time as if a meeting. And they aren't sitting there listening to an apostle speak. These are Middle Eastern people. They're loud. And in Acts 1 tells us they've been praying and singing and telling of the Lord, probably all at the same time. And the noise level is crazy because they're all speaking at once. In this little room where the sound's bouncing off the walls, you can't even hardly hear the person sitting next to you as you're talking in their ear because they're all talking and celebrating and praying at once. And suddenly, there was a noise like you've never experienced before. We live today in a noisy society. This time of year, the mowing starts at 7 o'clock in our neighborhood. Goes all day. We have traffic, we have road construction, we have airplanes, TVs, music from radios, computers, downloads. We have ambient noise all the time. Noise is what we live with. But in those days, they had almost no ambient noise. The only noise they had was from the crowd talking in this closed space. And suddenly, there's so much noise, so much going on that the din of their praying and talking and singing is drowned out. It had to be terrifying for those first few moments. What's going on? In the midst of this terrifying, overwhelming noise, fire breaks out and rips through the room. It's an uncontrollable wildfire in a space in which you can hardly move. Think about that. And even though the fire is roaring, the noise continues to blast and even drown that out. And we're talking fire, not little sparkling tongues hovering tamely like on our old color pages. Fire is around the room and you're surrounded by 120 people and you can't move. And the fire hits the disciples. It hits Mary, the mother of Jesus. It hits his brothers. It hits his sisters. It hits you. All 120 of us crowded in, hemmed in. The fire hits you and we're trapped. And suddenly we realize the fire isn't burning me, is it? And the noise continues, but the noise seems right. The noise seems comforting. And suddenly there's an atmosphere in the room I've never felt before in my life. Not even when Jesus gave us the bread and the cup and poured out his body for us. There's something new, something exciting, something so sudden. And suddenly I finally understand. I understand. I know Jesus' teaching. I get Jesus' teaching. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, I get it. I know you're here with us. Your spirit is here with us. Acts 2:4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Some have interpreted this new language as speaking in tongues. You know, speaking in tongues, this spiritual language that sounds like nothing ever spoken before. And it could be they were speaking in tongues. I don't know. Others have interpreted these other languages as that everyone who is in the city for Pentecost, the Romans, the Asians, the Cappadocians, the Liberians, that they're all now able to hear what the apostles are saying in their own language. As the apostles speak, I from Arabia can hear it in Arabic. That could be, I don't know. But for today, just for today, let's define other languages as Holy Spirit language. Now, with this chaotic gift of the Holy Spirit, James and John and Mary Magdalene, all 120, finally understand who Jesus is, finally get his teachings. And they're all talking at the same time about him. Oh, Jesus is Son of God. Jesus is Son of God. He died for me. He died so that I'm saved, so that I'm forgiven. I have eternal life in him. Oh, and I get the story of the Good Samaritan. I get it. These are my brothers and sisters. And the Romans and the Liberians and the Cretes and the Arabs, they're all my neighbors. I'm supposed to care for you, for them. And you care for me. Thank you. And the prodigal son, yeah, God is my father. Wow. He welcomes me, forgives me. Even when I walk away from him, he always welcomes me home and loves me. And if I'm always around, he loves me just the same. Wow. And the widow's mite. I'm not supposed to give this much or that much. I'm supposed to give everything to Jesus. So they're speaking this language. They're all speaking at once, this Holy Spirit language. And it's the good news of Jesus Christ, and they have to tell the world. So they begin to tell the world. All 120 of them are gathered there in Jerusalem, and they're all speaking at once. And each of you can understand and hear the one you're supposed to understand and hear. Each of the 120 are telling the story in their own way, from their own story, from their own perspective, from their own history. And because each is different and each has a different story, Peter's story may be your story. And you hear Peter. While Mary's speaking, you hear Mary, if that's part of your story. Each of us hears what we need to hear and understand and relate to Jesus in the way that person is telling it. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Yes, I was the first believer. Yes, I believed when there was no reason to. But 30 years of believing is a long time. And so I didn't know for a long time. And I was worried for my son. And it's hard to see my son die. But here I am. Here I am now. And I believe. And I'm hoping. And I know life in him. And Peter, yes, I always follow Jesus. I love Jesus. But I failed him 3 times. And he forgave me 3 times. Unworthy as I am, here I am. Called, loved, following, hoping. And Peter's brother, Andrew, the apostle. I follow John the Baptist. You know, all my life I seem to be searching for something. Something. So I followed John. But that's, and I followed others. And that spiritual always just seemed outside my grasp, didn't it? And then Jesus looked at me and said, come follow me. I don't get it. But I said, Peter, let's go give it a try. Let's give it a try. And then later on, it was a long day, and I was hungry, tired, beat. I said, Jesus, I need to eat, man. And I brought him a little boy, and he did something I never expected. He fed 5,000 of us, and now he feeds us spiritually every day. My spiritual life is filled up. I found what I was looking for, belief, hope, life in God. Mary Magdalene and the other women were not allowed to preach. We're not even allowed to go all the way into the temple. But here we are. We give what we can. We give of our financial means. Luke 8 tells us they gave financially. They did the volunteer jobs that none of the rest of us like to do. Laundry, cooking, dishes. They gave themselves over to Christ. They found Christ in the simple tasks of ministry. Then we hear from the brothers James. Always identified as the brothers, James. James, the brother, the son of Zebedee, the brother of the beloved disciple, John. Yeah, my brother gets it all, doesn't he? He's got all the kudos. He is the beloved disciple. Everybody knows John. And Jesus chose me and loves me. Then we have James, the son of Alphaeus, the brother of Matthew. Yeah, everybody knows Matthew. He's the writer in the family. He gets all the publicity. But Jesus chose me and loves me. Matthew then tells, as they're telling their story, Matthew tells his story. Yeah, I was a lousy person. As a tax collector, I lied, cheated, stole from my own people. Yet Jesus chose me and loves me. He knew I could change. And because he knew I could change, I did change because of him. And here I am, hoping and believing and knowing life in him. Then we have James and Jude, the biological half-brothers of Jesus, the sons of Mary, Jesus' little brothers. And they tell their Holy Spirit story. And all who come to faith later in life must be inspired by these two. Yeah, they said, we thought he was crazy. We thought he was nuts. We had a great carpentry business going, and he walks away, goes and starts hanging out with fishermen, sinners, tax collectors. And he's walking around preaching and teaching. He must have been nuts. They never believed in him in his lifetime. And then we saw him die. And we saw how he died. And then we experienced resurrection. We came late to the party. And here we are believing, knowing life in him, hoping. John, the beloved disciple. Jesus actually nicknamed him Son of Thunder. And not because he loved Thor and the Avengers. He is Son of Thunder. I can be pretty fiery. I get in people's faces. That's who I am. And Jesus chose me and loves me. And here I am. Thomas tells of doubting. And Jesus continues to choose him and love him. Simon the Zealot talks about being part of the Zealot party, the Zealot political party. And you know what he says? He says, my political views are way different than Jesus. Yet he chose me and loves me. And here I am together with my brothers and sisters, and we don't agree politically, but here we are, knowing Jesus, believing Jesus, hoping in Jesus. Philip the apostle tells of hearing Jesus say, come and see. So I went and saw, and I took Nathanael with me. And speaking of Nathanael, he's also known as Bartholomew. And he tells of his first encounter with Jesus, and he says, I was cynical, I was snotty. I thought, here's another infomercial for somebody who's going to make my life better. Another promiser of better life. And if you're skeptical, if you're naturally cynical, look at me, look at Nathanael, Bartholomew. Be open to the Holy Spirit, and you can believe and know and hope. Now, Judas, son of James, is one of my favorites. We don't know a lot about him. We know he's also come to be known as Thaddeus. And Judas, son of James, speaks of being the misunderstood. Everybody thinks I'm Judas Iscariot, a traitor, a betrayer. It is hard to follow Jesus when everyone thinks the worst of you. But Jesus loves me. Jesus chose me. Here I am. I can do no other than follow and hope and live life in Jesus. All 120 of them had the fire of the Holy Spirit roar through them, and they're speaking Holy Spirit language that day. And each person in the crowd heard the individual disciples speak directly to them. And they heard the story that they could relate to. First believers, people who believed and then went away and believe again and continue believing now. Deniers, doubters, the unworthy, those who feel unworthy, the overshadowed, the cynical, the doubting, those who have people thinking poorly of them. There they are. Acts 2:41 tells us 3,000 heard their story that day and welcomed the story and were baptized. I hope in one of the disciples' stories this morning, you heard your story. If not your specific story, I hope you heard the message that Jesus chose you and loves you, each of you, more than you could ever imagine. And I hope you heard the story that the Spirit of the living God is with us. The Spirit of the living God is in you. The Spirit of the living God roars through you. And I hope you heard that you are here because you have been chosen, because you have hope, because you have the love of Christ in you and with you. I hope you hear that story.